Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So many of you may know the story of the musical Annie, which has also a couple different times been made into a movie. But just in case you don't, Annie is the story of little orphan Annie, a little curly-haired, red-headed girl, though they changed that in the most recent movie. But originally, a cute little red-headed, curly-haired girl who is an orphan and in an orphanage that none of us would desire to imagine ever having to live in, under the reigning power of Miss Hannigan, who is not at all loving to these girls, not at all kind to these girls, but is kind of the worst of mothers to these girls. And so in the musical, Annie works to try to escape and tries to find home elsewhere, and we get to go on this journey with her. Now, if you watch the musical or you watch the movie, it's easy to fall in love with Annie and feel your heart for her, but then it can be so easy to see the end of it and walk away and feel like you've been entertained and life goes on. But the sad one is when we look at a piece like Annie, when we see a story like this and have to realize this is the life of too many kids in our world. Too many kids that don't have loving parents that they get to live with. Too many kids that live in orphanages that we don't even want to imagine the conditions of. Too many kids whose lives are filled with neglect. Too many kids. Well, for me, this wasn't even on my radar of a reality growing up. I grew up in Mission Viejo in South Orange County, as you might know, and I called it a bubble community. I mean, nothing bad happened in Orange County. You didn't see anything bad happening to people. You just kind of lived in this safe and secure bubble, not realizing what was going on in the rest of the world. And then when I did youth ministry, I was in Irvine, and it was just a little more of a bubble. I think probably even safer and more secluded than Mission Viejo, at least the world that I saw within it. Not saying bad things didn't happen. You just didn't see it. You were just in these nice suburban communities. Well, then I became a pastor. And where did I go? But Desert Hot Springs. I don't know if you know about Desert Hot Springs, but Desert Hot Springs is a pretty tough community. And my eyes were really opened to what life can be like for kids, to see kids that were living in homes that I prayed that they could get out of, kids that were living without enough food in their bellies, without good enough shelter over their heads, kids that were getting into life of crime that made it so that probation officers had to be assigned to even the elementary school because of so many kids in there. It was a whole different world for me. And then I got shocked still again going to San Jacinto and Winchester. And one particular day, it really hit home. One particular day, I'm driving my van for a youth event, and I've got kids from both churches because I had so few youth between the two, I could fit both complete youth groups in my van. And this was the first time they'd really had a chance to try to get to know each other. And so here they were in the van, and my heart just absolutely was broken in that car ride. Why was it broken? Because they were finding common ground. They were finding where their lives had walked similar paths, and how they had found it was because every single kid filling that van had been through foster care multiple times. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the stories I had heard about the experiences that they had had, talking about the different kinds of foster families they had been in, raving about the good foster families and what defined the good foster families and what defined the bad foster families, talking about these experiences, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it when I was the one that had to call DCFS on some of the youth in my church. I couldn't believe it even more when I had the experience of learning firsthand what it's like to be on the foster parent side of it. When I'm at a birthday party, and I may have told you this story, but I have to tell it again on this one. When I'm at a birthday party for Kylie, Kylie's 6 years old, okay? 6 years old. That's little to me. And talking to another parent that had brought a girl that I'd never seen before, but the next week came into Kylie's class. This little girl at the birthday party was visiting for the first time with her new foster family, which was the mother I was talking to. And she talked about the experience of picking up this little girl, that she showed up to where she was. First of all, to learn that this little girl had been living in conditions so bad, they didn't even have plumbing in the house, and they had to go next door to Taco Bell to use the bathroom and to wash up. So she picked up this girl desperately needing a bath and with a partially filled trash bag of all her belongings. She said they got home and opened up the trash bag, and what did they find? They found worn out, dirty clothes that didn't even fit her, and that was it. This little girl didn't have a doll or a stuffed animal or a toy to her name, not a book, not a blanket, nothing but run down, hand-me-down clothes that they knew she couldn't wear. And I was shocked to see that the 6-year-old little girl was living that life, and that this was not the first time she had gone through foster care. Let me tell you how heartbroken I was when I learned that house without plumbing was a foster family. For this little girl. And I thought, what is this world coming to? That this is the life that kids are living. That there are so many trash bag kids that go from home to home, trash bag to trash bag, not knowing what it is to have anything of their own, not knowing what it is to be loved and nurtured and cared for. And my heart just breaks for them. So for me to hear about these 1,700 quilts, to think, how would that experience have changed if that little girl that Kylie became friends with, what if when that social worker came to pick her up and all she had was that trash bag, and what that social worker had for her was not only a new foster family ready to love her, but a quilt of her very own. Something to be hers and only hers. Something that she could wrap up on cold nights and something that she could find comfort in. When I heard about this, I thought about what a life-changing experience that can be for a child to receive something as loving as one of those quilts. And I had to look at our passage this morning. And think about what Jesus is saying here. To think about what's going on. I mean, put yourself in that mindset. I know it's difficult. I know you don't want to do it. But think of yourself as one of those little children. One of those neglected children that's lost between homes, that doesn't know what's coming, doesn't know who they're going to be with or how long they're going to be there. And then hear Jesus' promise. Hear the words, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That is a promise. Jesus is about ready to go. This is in the last day with his disciples. About to die on the cross, be gone for 3 days, and then eventually ascend to heaven. And he knows how alone they're going to feel. He knows how lost they're going to seem. He knows that it's going to feel like somebody's just been ripped from them. And he's comforting them right here. That won't be the end. I know you won't physically see me. I know you won't hear my words in your ear. I know you won't feel my embrace, but guess what? I am not leaving you fully. He says, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. And unlike me, it's going to be with you always. It will live in you, and I will be able to be present 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with you, so that I can always be with you, so that I can always be loving you, and you can always be loving me. Jesus says, I get to be the ultimate blanket, the one that's always with you, the one that you can wrap in those moments when you need it most. No matter how much you feel like you're carrying that garbage bag in your life, that you're just carrying discards and disappointments and the trash that this world throws at you, when all you can see is the tough times and the letdowns and the ways that you haven't excelled in the way that you think you should. He says, that garbage bag, you take it to the cross and I take it for you. That's why I'm dying, so you can give me your garbage bag, that you can leave it all with me. And in exchange, I give you my Holy Spirit. So that instead of all that junk, you can feel grace. You can feel love. You can feel compassion. That you can feel me and my Father all wrapped up in one and wrapped around you, loving you through all of these tough days. That's what Jesus is promising. You will never be orphaned. You will never be left alone. You will never have to do it on your own. You will never be without, because I will always be with you. This morning, we get to praise that. We get to praise that promise, that even though people in our life come and go, and everything else can fade and fade and pass away, that Jesus will remain. And on that day, he says, when your time on this earth is done, what does he say? It's me that comes for you. It's me that comes with open arms. I will come to embrace you. And then where I take you is my Father's house. A room prepared just for you. And I will take you there myself. No orphans, no lost, no lonely, just loved. Will you pray with me? God of us all, our heart breaks for the neglected. Our hearts break for the hungry. Our hearts break for the sick and the lonely. Our hearts break for those children who are unloved. We pray for each of these. And we put them in your loving arms, that you will send your angels through quilts and social workers and foster families to embrace these children and let them know how amazing and how loved they are, for they all deserve none less than that. And we pray for each one of us. We pray that we can continually feel your presence with us, that we never have to feel neglected, that we never have to feel hungry for you, that we never have to feel unloved, that we never have to feel unworthy, but that we can always feel your embrace around us and to know that you are loving us unconditionally and without cost. For all of this, we lift and pray in your most holy name. Amen.